Welcome to the My Walk, My Way podcast.
They wanted to take away my darkness.
But that will take away my light.
They wanted to take away my darkness.
But I've learned to make it mine. I learned to love it over time.
I've learned to make my shadow shine.
I hope you're enjoying the My Walk, My Way podcast. If you are, make sure that you subscribe so you always know when a new episode is coming out, and leave us a review. It helps other people to find out about the podcast. If you'd like to keep the conversation going, please join us on our Facebook page, the My Walk, My Way community, where we talk more about the authors, about their endotypes, and about their stories. That's also where you can ask questions about your endotype. If you don't know yet what your endotype is, go to the My Walk, My Way website. Both links are in the show notes below. And take the simple 5-question assessment to find out what your endotype is, which author you're most like, and download the free resource guide that helps you understand more about how you work. It helps you start to move through fear so that you can do your walk your way. And if you're part of a book club, we invite you to make My Walk, My Way part of the books you consider this year. And we have included a book club guide on our website. Today, on our episode of the podcast, we are going to talk with Lisa Nelson. And Lisa is author of chapter 5 in our book, Finding the Positive Roots to This Ghostly Tree. Her endotype is the anxious balanced builder. Do you know yet what your endotype is? If you don't, please go take the quiz over at mywalkmyway.com. It's really easy. It's 5 questions. We try and make it as painless as possible. But in those 5 questions, we find out so much information for you to have. In our podcast today, we are going to jump right into Lisa's chapter and some of the things. Here's some things that you need to know about her. Lisa was adopted. So she grew up with the family that raised her and has since found some of her family of origin. But in that experience of not knowing her roots, right, that became even more present for Lisa as she started to develop some health issues. Lisa has had epilepsy since she was a child, and we talk about it in the episode here. She also dealt with breast cancer more recently. And those all became these invisible, ghostly things. When Lisa told me that she wanted to write about a ghost kingdom, I had no idea what that meant. But what it means is the experience that adopted people have, and I'm sure others have it, where it's like you're always wondering, what was my birth mom like? What was my birth dad like? It's just this very natural state of wondering, and you kind of make up details about them. Could they have been this? Could they have been that? To the point where, as you're seeing people out in your daily life, there's this kind of ever-present question of, like, am I related to you? Am I related to you? Am I related to you? So she grew up in this ghost kingdom, which, right, then she had some experiences around invisible illnesses, but she found a way to put down roots and to build a root structure. So enjoy this episode of the podcast where we discuss so many of those things and even more about her endotype and how that is unique to this situation also. Lisa, thank you very much for being with us today and having this conversation, diving into the chapter a little bit. Glad you're here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So your chapter, right, Positive Roots to a Ghostly Tree. Help us to understand a little bit about what that means and like what this ghostly tree that you talk about in your chapter is.
Well, there could be a lot when you talk about a ghostly tree and a ghost kingdom when you're talking about it from an adoptee's perspective. So in the past, you know, anyone could just enter a ghost kingdom through fantasy, right? But now in this like age of like search and reunion with people, people trying to find their family and or adoptees, I should say, ghosts are being morphed into like real people. So people who you are finding and your family. I mean, I just create my own family. I have tons of family. I go from the people who raised me and then all of my friends of friends that I have. And then mm-hmm. I have family now through meeting people who I just found. So new birth yeah. family.
Yeah. Yeah. You do have family in all the different places. And, you know, you and I kind of know each other from some networking and some business stuff that we have done. So, you know, I've watched as you have and just your ability and unique gift of creating connection and, you know, planting those roots, letting your roots of who you are reach out and intertangle and grab onto other people. So I've seen you do that. Do you think that is something that's unique to you? Or do you think that that's something that kind of happens with people who are adopted? What's your perspective?
Well, I think that I make friends and family quite easily, just mm-hmm. in general. And I've always been kind of a team player. So, mm-hmm. you know, even with the group that I met you in, you know, I love that feeling of just being a part of that community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, anybody can do that, but I don't know who really takes it on. I enjoy it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think part of it too may stem back to your endotype because the genius of the builder endotype, because you're the anxious, balanced builder, that genius component of you surrounds identity and seeing other people for who they are, edifying who their identity is. How else has this shown up other than this ability to kind of make connections? How else has that shown up in your life?
Well, I have had a lot of health struggles. So mm-hmm. I think I've always had that mindset that, you know, everybody is special, you know, until you feel like you've been taken advantage of. I mean, I try to do a lot to help others and make them feel like they're important and anything to lift people up. But you just basically have to stay positive. I like to try to volunteer,
mm-hmm.
but you have to create like your own family tree and be productive and a beneficial vibe for like everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, like, I think part of that is accepting people for where they at, which is what that identity piece of yours does for you and for other people who are your same endotype, you know, for other builders who are listening. They're like, yeah, of course I can see who people are. And it's just like this natural talent that you guys have that other endotypes are like, what does that mean? You know, like, it's not natural for others. And that's kind of that beauty of the endotype formula.
Yeah, until you said something about it, I guess I just assumed it was natural for me.
Yeah, no, where identity is in your zone of genius really makes it a unique and a unique gift. One of the things that you had just said as you were talking was about seeing other people as special. That, again, I think relates back to a piece of your endotype at your young child, right? It's about seeing people as unique or significant or special. And yet, it's something that a lot of people, whatever is at our young child, is also something that we sometimes crave or we don't feel for ourselves. So have you ever struggled with kind of feeling small or unimportant or insignificant?
Sure. There's a lot of things, you know, whether it was just from a relationship or adoption, you know, ghosting in general, it can make anyone feel unimportant. Mm-hmm. So living in that state of like not knowing for 40 plus years of my life, I think definitely I can have that. It can have that effect on somebody.
Sure.
And then, you know, you can get all sorts of emotions from that. You can feel helpless. You could feel like, oh, well, I don't have information about understanding who I am, and almost form this like sort of silent treatment and feel powerless. Right. And then also with my significant health issues, that also puts you into another state of mind as well. You feel like, oh, well, like I'm an independent person and it feels weird to me to have to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like to have to ask for help, mm-hmm. but I've had to, especially in the last couple of years. So yeah. On top of the pandemic and everything else, you know, I was having to ask people for even just a ride to the hospital or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. And so for some of our listeners who haven't read your chapter yet, maybe, what are some of those health issues that you've been dealing with?
Well, back in, 2010, I had brain surgery for my epilepsy that I've had my whole life. And then 2020, pretty much 10 years later, the pandemic hit while I was dealing with breast cancer.
So yeah.
It was taking on a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by myself, too.
Right. Yes. Yeah, you know, I've talked to a few other people that have experienced some significant health challenges during this pandemic period that as of this recording, you know, right, we're still a little bit in. And yeah, I've heard the same thing from a lot of them. They felt very isolated. They felt very kind of lost or small because of it. And yeah, it's a tough thing to deal with. And especially kind of with your makeup, with your endotype, there's kind of that extra little nudge there.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, living alone and doing a lot of that myself, like I was reaching out to pretty much anyone and everyone, but you couldn't be in person.
Right.
And right. When you'd go there, you were just by yourself. So I'm like sitting there just kind of do-do-do, like, okay, I guess I'm looking up more questions and trying to figure out things. So I was doing a lot of like trial and error and just figuring it all out myself, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it, you know, it's usually a time, you know, when somebody experiences a major health condition or a major health issue, it's usually a time people rally all the way around you. But because of the treatments that you were having, they literally couldn't be in your space.
Yeah, because I started before the pandemic and literally I saw everything change. Like I was coming in and I actually had, I think, a couple of treatments, two or three treatments, and I know my brother came with me to the first one, and then I think I had two other ones, and people had said, oh, hey, I'll come, you know, hang out with you and be there with you while you're doing your treatment. And I would be like, oh, that's great, because, you know, you'd be sitting there for like 4 to 8 hours. Just
right.
It was boring.
Right.
So it was great to just have that extra little, you know, emotional help, you know, or mental state of mind.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I could see how that's definitely true. So we talked a little bit, right, that you were adopted and you experienced ghosting on a lot of different levels. And you also talked about kind of your unique perspective on family now. So you have your adopted family that you grew up with, your brother, your dad, still with you. And before the end of this chapter, before you were done writing this book, you had started to discover more biological family. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what that process has been like for you?
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy because I took a DNA test like 4 to 5 years ago. I started with the 23andMe, and then I moved to Ancestry. But I would just randomly message people, and I was just always kind of curious because I always wanted to figure out like who I was, why was I having these issues. You know, I never was looking for, oh, I have to have a mother and father that, you know, it didn't matter to me. It really didn't. I was more looking for like almost validation for myself to know who I was and to mm-hmm. figure out, well, even is there going to be more medical issues? I don't know. You know, later in life that I should be preparing for. I had no idea. But I really didn't know where questions would lead me through people. And I just kept asking questions and randomly messaging people. And then finally about, I'm going to say 8 months ago, I found one woman who happened to be my aunt, and she led me to my brother. So it's been really weird. And the birth father and birth mother aren't together, so I'm trying to also figure out siblings on both sides of the family. So
Yeah.
Each side has different, you know, factors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So messaging people through the tests that you got back and kind of the matches that they were giving you, these people might be related, these people might be related, has led you to be able to find more of your bio family. And what have you experienced as a result of kind of finding some more of these? Because I know you've done more than just message them at this point. So what kind of have you experienced as far as, you know, other than weird and wonderful, as a result of finding these biologically related family members?
Well, one thing, I guess, from the very beginning that I thought was a little different was just knowing my genetic makeup, because I was always like, oh, I got red hair. I guess I'm Irish. Like, I had no idea.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Because literally on this piece of paper that I got when I was a little girl, it said I was American. That was it. So I was always like, American? What's that? Like a piece of American processed cheese? Like, you know? Like, American cookies. Right. Like, all this stuff combined, right? I had no clue as to what I was. So then when I came up with the genetic makeup, I was mostly German and Native American, which was my mind was just kind of blown from that. But yeah, meeting the siblings on the father's side have been amazing. And I think that they wanted to have contact with me just as much as I wanted to have with them. Mm. So it's been great getting to know other people, and you know, it's just another addition to my family. So
right, that you've been collecting for all your life, all these people everywhere that you've met, and you talk about that some inside the story too. How you be living here, and all of a sudden you had your family, right? Friends who became family wherever you went.
Yeah.
So I get that. Has part of your endotype, the hero part of your endotype, helps people feel like they're in charge, they're powerful, or they have responsibility for their choices? Yet it's not, the hero part of us isn't always easy for us to feel the same way. Sometimes it needs to have training, right? And some of us are in a lifetime training of the hero part of our endotype. So how have you trained or worked on and worked with this hero part to be able to take ownership of your life and own your personal power?
Well, I definitely think that dealing with those larger health issues independently by myself has been a big piece of that. Because living alone and doing it all by myself, I was asking a lot of people questions, and everything was really trial and error. And there's never really like a choice. You have to advocate for yourself, right?
Yep.
Like you don't know how it's gonna, everybody's different, so you don't know how it's gonna turn out.
Right.
And then also designing and doing artwork projects, that's another tough one. So I feel like that's a whole nother portion of my time that I spend with people. And you can do hundreds and hundreds of ideas and proofs for people, and you can just skim the surface. So, you know, knowing why you are choosing what you want to give that individual, basically you have to like stand up for yourself and just know what you are doing is correct.
Yep. Yeah, I can definitely see that, making those choices, advocating for your own power through those health conditions. Like, for sure, that makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many choices to make, I would imagine. I've not been through the same kind of medical challenges, but I would imagine every step of the way you're making a different choice, and you only got yourself to work on. So
the biggest thing for me was in the last couple of years doing the multiple surgeries, and then my body rejected the implants. So mm-hmm. now I'm at a whole nother stage where I kind of felt like I went backwards for a while, you know, so now I'm trying to get back forwards again. And it's just kind of, you got to figure out what works for you, because the other person over there, she didn't have that problem.
Right. Right. And I think that's true, that's a great lesson of life as well. So people who have power on the protective side of their endotype, who struggle with this, even as part of their endotype makeup, right? They're kind of they have this habit of looking for other people to make their choices for them. So when I worked inside of a gym, and I worked with endotypes that had this challenge often. And it was interesting because we would talk while they're warming up, right? And talk while they're working out. I'd talk about what I made for dinner or new recipes that I had. And the one day I said, you know what I had last night that I've never had before? I made squash fries. And they went, hmm? And I said, yeah, I took butternut squash, and I chopped it up real thin and then put it in the oven and then made them like fries. And the individual went, see, I don't eat squash. And I went, and it took me a minute because it was a weird response. It was like, why was that? When she went, see, I was like, she was trying to prove a point there. What was the point that she was proving about squash? And it took me a little bit to sit with and to realize that as I was talking about what I ate, they were hearing it as, this is what I think you should eat. Eat this, you'll lose weight. Eat this, you'll be healthy. Whatever it was their goal. But they wanted to just copy what I was doing instead of taking personal responsibility for their own choices. And they would go, see, that's why it's not going to work for me.
Right.
And kind of push off that power of their own choice. And that's one of the things that I can see about you. You never sat back and went, see, I got problems. That's why it's not going to work for me. You were like, all right, I eat problems like Cheerios for breakfast. It'll be fine. You know, yeah, and just kind of.
Yeah, you definitely can't do that. And another thing is with medical challenges, there's, you know, Eastern, Western medicine. A lot of different other things that you can try. There's so many different people that I've met through helping others. I would barter with people, and you know, I have to do massages for my stress of my migraines and my epilepsy. So I would go to massage therapists and learn a lot from them, and then they would tell me about new things with, you know, Eastern medicine, and I'm like, oh wow, that's really interesting, you know. And I'm always willing to try something, because you don't ever know if it's going to work until you try it. You really don't.
Right. And what works for one person may not at all make any impact for a completely different individual. Yep. Both because of their endotypes, right? Because there's some physical components behind the endotype formula too. The fact that you get migraines is nothing new for your endotype. There's a few endotypes that get have kind of chronic migraine problems.
Oh, sure.
It's all in how those, the endocrine glands, because those endocrine glands connect to, and the physical components around them connect to your endotype pieces. Endo, that's that part of it. So, but what helped you, again, may not help somebody, a builder of the same type. We all have to find our own way and take that personal responsibility for those choices. So,
definitely.
Yeah. So tell me about, here's what I want to know. You have entered into this book writing process. And when we connected about this book, right, you had kind of said, oh, I've been wanting to write a book for a long time and tell my story and get it out there. And you had had a few other ideas as well. But a big part of the builder endotype is worrying about what to say, or whether you're qualified to say it, or how to explain a thing. Did that show up for you in this book, and how else has that showed up for you in your life?
I don't remember if it showed up for me in the book or not. I mean, I know you and I talked a lot about this from the whole process of starting it. But I know in general, I've always had trouble speaking, or feeling like I wasn't saying something right. You know, whether it was an actual like speaking engagement or just one-on-one conversation, it either feels like I might not be explaining it correctly, or maybe I just didn't want to say it wrong. But like being on the radio the last four times now in the last few years, and even in this women's group that we're in, like being on the leadership team, everything has just kind of like helped me become more aware and just put it out there more. So I kind of been just like shoving myself out there and making me like making myself just stand up in front of people and face my anxiety, I guess, about speaking.
Yeah. Well, because that fear, you know, for you and your endotype, that fear of voice and speaking and messaging and things, that connects to the parent piece. Last week's episode of the podcast, I explained a little bit more about the parent and about the guides that we've created that are available on mywalkmyway.com for people to download about what does this piece of them connect to. But it's this part that wants us to do our best, not do the best, but do our best. And it wants us to stay on our path. So when it's bringing up these worries and bringing up these fears, it's not that inner monologue and that inner voice isn't trying to say, be silent, but it's trying to go, is this your message or somebody else's? Are these your words or somebody else's? And try and get you to utilize your voice for your good, not for the acceptance or the value of everybody else. And in the radio engagements that you have had, speaking on breast cancer, speaking on epilepsy, the story in your book where you discuss both of those, but adoption too, you're definitely utilizing your voice to tell your stories and your experiences now for sure.
Yeah, so definitely. Because I asked to do the breast cancer one, and then I asked her, I'm like, have you ever talked about epilepsy? I mean, that's something I've had my whole life. Like, you got me, you know, you got 10 minutes to talk about breast cancer. Well, I'd only had that for 2 years, where the epilepsy, I had 45 years of epilepsy. Like, slamming all that into 10 minutes was like a huge a huge piece and a huge process, but it was good because I feel like not a lot of people talk about it, and more people should become aware. So.
Sure. Yeah. It's one of those, breast cancer to a certain extent too, it's one of those invisible diseases, right? You know, I can tell if somebody's limping that there's something maybe not going on well.
Yeah.
You know, I feel very similarly, you know, about autism. You know, I have a son who has autism. It's one of those invisible challenges that just creates a slight difference because his autism symptoms or the way he expresses himself is usually not enough for people to go like, oh, he's got autism. It's more like, huh, well, that was different. but they're not quite sure, right? You know, like, yeah. If you are ready to talk about the last Spider-Man movie for the next 30 minutes, just ask Logan. It'll be fine. We went to see it recently. He walked out of the theater shouting, well, not shouting, just verbalizing very loudly the unexpected parts of the movie, which are the spoilers, right? And I'm like, shush, like, you can't, like, some of these people might be going to that movie next. Like, yeah, don't you can't, spoil it for everyone. Right? No spoilers. I'm not being a spoiler. I'm just talking about it. And I was like, wait till we get in the car.
That's funny.
So just that little bit of something. But right, the more that we can talk about our experiences, because even, and that's why I guess you talk about ghosting so much in your book, right? It's those invisible things, the invisible diseases, the invisible, or maybe less talked about.
I would say it's the fear of the unknown. Mm.
Oh, that's why people don't talk about it as much, you would say?
I think so, because they don't know enough about it, or they don't hear about it, and you can't see it.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
I mean, especially with my auras for the epilepsy, people don't have an idea at all about it. And if I have something and I can't speak, they don't know what's going on. So like, mm-hmm. The other night I was just doing karaoke and I'd never had this happen before. And I went up to sing and I got so far and I could feel it coming on and the words just kept going by and I could see them and I felt like I wanted to sing, but I couldn't. Like mm-hmm. Nothing came out of my mouth. And I know people were looking at me like, what is she doing? But it was fine. It all went well and it was okay. It passes in about a minute. So,
sure.
You know, sure. You just got to kind of roll with it because, like I said, I don't have any control. You know, you can't just sit there and you basically have to be your own advocate for yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Utilizing that voice, speaking up, telling the story, you know, helping people to be able to understand what it is. I think that's great. And it gets you seen. Right? It gets you out of that ghost situation and more into that deeply rooted tree situation, like the metaphor that you used in your book. So, yes. So yeah, that's fantastic. So what are you up to these days or what are you doing next?
Well, my mind is always on overdrive. So let's see where we go. I'm definitely never bored. Always working on plenty of projects, whether it's just helping others or myself. I have been wanting to go back and finish the other book that I had started when you and I started talking a while back. And I feel a lot more confident about it after being with this group of ladies, mm-hmm. writing the book and the chapter. But it's going to be a different process mm-hmm. because I want to, animate it or draw it myself as well. So right. That's going to be a whole nother factor.
But. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what that might be, like the subject or what you're thinking?
Well, basically it's going to be a book for children about epilepsy. So
yes.
Mainly auras and being able to distinct why someone is having this issue. And I want it to be for younger kids because I feel like when I was younger, I didn't even know what that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't get told about even grandmas or seizures much. So auras are like a whole nother aspect that I didn't even know I was having until I was in college. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh yeah, you've been having those your whole life. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but what are they? And they were like, oh yeah, that's a form of a seizure. I was like, oh my gosh, like this whole time I was right. having these and I didn't even know.
Yep. Yep. So it would serve kind of a dual purpose, both for a child who may be diagnosed with epilepsy. It would kind of create some, you know, social story. Feel themselves. They can be seen, right? They can be less invisible. But also from the perspective of helping other kids understand too, right?
Yeah. And the parents too, because I want the parents to read the book to the child. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they're going to learn about it as well. So, mm-hmm. Wow. Or teachers or whoever, yeah. You know.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. That'll be fun to be able to see. You know, we have another author in the book, Mindy Wilson, who has recently written a children's book about migraines, Jane Jumps Through Migraines, I think is the title. Don't quote me on it for sure.
Yeah, it is something similar to that. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that, I mean, again, a great experience, and we'll, you know, and it'll be beautifully illustrated. You do great with that. So, yeah, we'll look forward to watching for that. And if people want to connect with you or get a hold of you, how can they connect?
Well, anybody can email me. There's a little author section in our website, and then there's the author section in the back of our book as well, in the bios. Mm-hmm. But the email address is llnelsonswritingwell@gmail.com.
Perfect. And we will drop that into the show notes for this episode also. So if you're looking to connect with Lisa and have any questions, comments, feedback, just hold the snark. We don't need any of that in our life. Feel free to reach out to Lisa. Her email will be in the show notes. Thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you for participating in the book and for sharing your story with others and being able to, you know, share that experience you have, but helping us to see areas of, you know, I haven't had that experience. A lot of people haven't had the experience of being part of it, you know, on either side of an adoption, but helping those of us who haven't to be able to understand it better. It's very, very, very valuable. So thanks for telling your story.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of My Walk, My Way. To not miss an episode, please go to wherever you get your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. While you're there, it really helps us out a lot if you leave a review. To pick up a copy of the My Walk, My Way book, you can get that wherever books are sold and order that. And on our mywalkmyway.com website, you can find special gifts that help you understand your endotype just a little bit better. I can't go today before I give special thanks to the band Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets for allowing us to use this beautiful music from their song Shine. Check them out. The rest of their music is great too. Doesn't make my shadow shine.